The Creature from Cleveland Depths by Fritz Leiber. Chapter 1. Here is a modern tale of an inner-directed sorcerer and an outer-directed sorcerer's apprentice. A tale of The Creature from Cleveland Depths. "Come on, Gussie," Fay prodded quietly. "Quit stalking around like a neurotic bear and suggest something for my invention team to work on. I enjoy visiting you and Daisy, but I can't stay above ground all night."
"If being outside the shelters makes you nervous, don't come around anymore," Gusterson told him, continuing to stalk. "Why doesn't your invention team think of something to invent? Why don't you?"
"Huh." In the "huh" lay triumphant condemnation of a whole way of life.
"We do," Fay responded imperturbably. "But a fresh viewpoint sometimes helps."
"I'll say it does." "Fay, you burglar, I'll bet you've got 20 people like myself you milk for free ideas. First you irritate their bark, and then you make the rounds every so often to draw off the latex or the maple gloop."
Fay smiled.
"It ought to please you that society still has a use for you ultra-inner-directed types. It takes something to make a junior executive stay above ground after dark when the missiles are on the prowl."
"Society can't have much use for us or it'd pay us something," Gusterson sourly asserted, staring blankly at the tankless TV and kicking it lightly as he passed on.
"No, you're wrong about that, Gussie. Money's not the key goad with you inner directeds. I got that straight from our motivations chief.
Did he tell you what we should use instead to pay the grocer? A deep inner sense of achievement, maybe?"
"Fay, why should I do any free thinking for microsystems?"
"I'll tell you why, Gussie. Simply because you get a kick out of insulting us with sardonic ideas. If we take one of them seriously, you think we're degrading ourselves, and that pleases you even more. Like making someone laugh at a lousy pun."
Gusterson held still in his roaming and grinned.
"That the reason? Huh. I suppose my suggestions would have to be something in the line of ultra-subminiaturized computers where one sinister fine-etched molecule does the work of three big bumbling brain cells."
"Not necessarily. Microsystems is branching out. Wheel as free as a rogue star. But I'll pass along to promotion your one-molecule three-brain-cell sparkler. It's a slight exaggeration, but it's catchy."
"I'll have my kids watch your ads to see if you use it, and then I'll sue the whole underworld."
Gusterson frowned as he resumed his stalking. He stared puzzledly at the antique TV.
"How about inventing a plutonium termite?" he said suddenly. "It would get rid of those stockpiles that are worrying your moles to death."
Fay grimaced noncommittally and cocked his head.
"Well, then, how about a beauty mask? How about that, hey? I don't mean one to repair a woman's complexion, but one she'd wear all the time, that'd make her look like a 17-year-old sex pot. That'd end her worries."
"Hey, that's for me," Daisy called from the kitchen. "I'll make Gusterson suffer. I'll make him crawl around on his hands and knees begging my immature favors."
"No, you won't," Gusterson called back. "You having a face like that would scare the kids."
"Better cancel that one, Fay. Half the adult race looking like Vina Vitterson is too awful a thought."
"Yeah, you're just scared of making $1 million, Daisy jeered.
"I sure am," Gusterson said solemnly, scanning the fuzzy floor from one murky glass wall to the other, hesitating at the TV.
"How about something homey now, like a flock of little prickly cylinders that roll around the floor collecting lint and flub? They'd work by electricity, or, at a pinch, cats could bat them around. Every so often, they'd be automatically herded together and the lint cleaned off the bristles."
"No good," Fay said. "There's no lint underground, and cats are verboten. And the above-ground market doesn't amount to more money-wise than the state of southern Illinois.
Keep it grander, Gussie, and more impractical. You can't sell people merely useful ideas."
From his hassock in the center of the room, he looked uneasily around.
"Say, did that violet tone in the glass come from the High Cleveland hydrogen bomb, or is it just age and ultraviolet, like desert glass?"
"No, somebody's grandfather liked it that color."